With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You thought it was Dio, but actually, it's us, the powerful Nerdcast. Hello, my friends. I am Corey, and joined with me today is my good friend,
Christian. Hey, you guys, we got some exciting news today. We, the powerful Nerdcast, have partnered with Rogue Intel, and Rogue Intel is a podcast network. Recently, we met a guy named Paul Duffy. Patrick Duffy. I guess subconsciously.
Not the star of Step by Step in Dallas.
Subconsciously, I'm trying to change his name so I don't think it's some celebrity that we've been hanging out with. But yeah, so he is the owner of a place called RogueIntel.com, and it's a podcast network where you can see all these different podcasters come along and like make a community. And we've really enjoyed the process of joining them and sending them like our logo and stuff, and we're getting our own place on their website. So if you go to RogueIntel.com, pretty soon you're going to see the powerful Nerdcast on the front page cycling through their like banner and stuff. And we're just really excited because what these guys are going to do for us is put us on Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, and they're just going to distribute our podcast all over the internet. And I think Corey and I have always been really stuck on YouTube.
Yes.
And we've loved it. Mm-hmm. And YouTube is great, but we just feel like we've got to advertise like in more places because you guys are great, but we feel like we could have a bigger audience all over the internet. Mm-hmm. And why not put your stuff everywhere? If you're going to put it out, put it everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so the people at Rogue Intel have just been awesome. Mm-hmm. And what's your experience been so far, Corey?
It's been really great. The good thing is a lot of the people at Rogue Intel, we've actually worked with them before. They do have another podcast show on there that's called Now That I'm Older.
Yep.
And I believe that's Shane and Kenny.
Yes.
And they're awesome. We've had them on the show before. If you guys want to check them out, we'll put a link to that episode in the description box below.
It was like one of the earlier, maybe sub 10 podcasts.
And we've actually been on their show a couple times. They're really great. They're a lot of fun. But what I really love about this whole Rogue Intel thing, like you said, is that we're going to be all over the place now. And this is going to give people more options because one of the biggest requests from you guys is, I want a download version. I want an audio version. I want to be able to listen to your show everywhere I go, in the car, on the toilet, during a funeral. We need your show. And that's exactly so important about this Rogue Intel thing.
And that's what I love about podcasting in general. If it's done right, you're supposed to be able to pull it up on your phone, pause it, play it wherever you want. Like, you don't have to come home and watch Game of Thrones at 9 o'clock on HBO. Mm-hmm. You can just have an HBO Go account and watch it whenever you want.
Boom.
And that's what we're trying to do. And also, I think that was also Corey and mine's idea when we started this studio, is really make this like modern media little hub where we can kind of like report on things we like. And then hopefully maybe someday we'll have people come here and produce their own stuff, you know, alongside us. And we'll have our own like brand that, you know, people make stuff under. That could be fun too. And I think that's always been kind of the idea. So meeting up with these people, now that we have things like the internet, we can like collab with them and we can be part of this community. And that's awesome. This thing called the internet. Well, it's a big, you know, you think about it, it's like everyone can come together and it's like a single, I don't want to get too crazy hippie with it, but like a single sort of consciousness thing where you can like meet people in and like-minded people.
Heavy, man.
Heavy.
I like it. But what is really cool about this though is that nothing is changing. We're just getting more options for how you can view the show, which is going to be really good for a lot of people. It's going to be good to allow us to get our name out there a little bit more because this podcast has been so much fun and this is just the next big step, not only for the podcast, but for the actual Super Commie Guru 9000 brand as well.
Yeah, and the other thing to recognize, guys, is, you know, we're kind of lucky because of the anime reviews we do. We already had kind of a nice, like, built-up fan base to watch our podcast because, like, a lot of people start podcasts and they're lucky to get, like, 100 views an episode for a long time. And we've been really blessed to get, like, 1,000 right off the bat.
Like, I know some websites that have been around for years, you know, that, you know, they report on some of the biggest news. They release, like, a weekly podcast and they might get 50 views.
Yeah, and you're like, You're like, wow, 1,000 doesn't sound like much, but I promise, Corey and I have worked so hard to get that.
Oh, and we love it. Thank you guys so much for watching.
Yeah, absolutely. We're very grateful, you know. But we just want to take it to the next level, and Rogue Intel seems like the partners. And one of the things that I've always wanted to do is have more guests on, and I feel like with Rogue Intel, we're going to have access to these great content creators that we can just ask to come on. I know this one guy, he has a podcast called Pocket Dump.
And Pocket Dump.
All he does is review like knives and stuff, like little folding knives.
I would not know that from the title of the show.
The Pocket Dump. So like he would take like, because I always like carry one of these little work blades, and you see how you can like snap it open. Like he would review this and he'd talk about it. So it's kind of cool. You know, he reviews different brands and pocket
knives. He's like
knives.
The stabby version of
flashlights,
the Russian guy who does the shooting videos on YouTube, you know
the
what
Russian guy. Oh, what's his name?
FPS Russia
or
something
along
those
lines. That guy's actually from Georgia and it fakes the whole thing.
You could tell too, because I mean we live here, and you know that you could tell where
those
he's
trees
shooting.
Look
it looks just like our backyards. That's crazy. But that's big news for us. Rogue Intel, stay tuned. We're gonna have more announcements for that coming down the pipeline. What's also really cool, all the previous episodes are also going to be available in audio format, so you guys can check those out, download it. So
also, we're getting our own show form on the website, which I think is cool. I'm not sure how big forms are anymore, but like I love Reddit and Imgur and stuff, so I know there are online communities that are big.
I tolerate Reddit.
You tolerate? Reddit's okay. I find Imgur to be more interesting. Like you can just get to the funny stuff faster. But I think that like having a forum is kind of cool. So maybe if you guys ever want to start like long form discussion with us about like show ideas, maybe we'll start a few posts there. Like put your cool episode reviews and like cool ideas in here, and we'll like go through everything and kind of be like, you know, another place to talk to us. So,
and again, it comes back to you guys, the fans, the viewers. And that brings us to our next segment, viewer questions. That's right. This is something that we've been really wanting to do for a long time. We want to hear from you guys. We want to hear your questions just about stuff you want to ask us or what you want us to review or talk about. And we do have a couple of them this week, and they are really awesome. So first, we're going to go ahead and start with Satsuki Sama 6. And he asks, do you guys agree with the rest of the fandom that Naruto Gaiden was basically a complete waste of time because Sakura didn't turn out to be Sarada's mother? I personally think it was lame of Kishi to troll us like that, but I still enjoyed the story. What do you guys think?
What kind of question? Okay,
first off,
he said it's useless, and then he said he enjoyed it. Well, I don't understand how it's like it's a double negative. You don't know how to respond to that. Okay, so the guy that hated it, who thought it was a waste of time, as he enjoyed
it. What he's actually saying is a lot of the fan base is not too happy with it. And, you know, I liked it, though.
So
yeah, I mean, I didn't love it.
I know you weren't as much of a fan of it as I was, but that's okay because, like I said, it was mostly a Naruto and Sasuke battle chapter against these new guys, and then they just threw the kids as the actual story in, which I said is exactly the right thing to do. Don't dump the old characters out of the series and then give us like Dragon Ball GT stuff where it's just the kids running around. Like, is that what people wanted? Like, I don't know. I thought it was good.
I mean, I don't feel that it was a waste of time, especially with the whole thing with, you know, Karin being actually maybe the mother of Sarada Uchiha. I really didn't think...
That's called Kishi trolling us, Corey.
Yeah.
People's eyes.
In some people's eyes, it is. But I really don't think he was trying to pull our leg too much. Was it a ploy to get people to continue reading? Of course it was. But I still don't feel that it was a waste of time. And like I said, I don't think it was the best thing that I've seen from the Naruto universe, but it was far from a waste of time. It was really good. It's better than any damned filler arc that I've ever seen, and it's even better than some of the standard canon episodes that I've seen lately in Naruto Shippuden, but that's a story for another day.
Yes.
But no, I don't believe it was a waste of time, and I really don't think the fan base is, you know, I think it's just an angry vocal minority.
A good way to put it. They're a loud minority.
You know, they really don't represent the entire fan base, and there really is no way to gauge really what the entire fan base is truly.
Do you feel like you understand the new characters more than you used to?
Sarada a little bit more. You know, I know more about her character now. I appreciate her a lot more. I still think it's surprising that Boruto wasn't like one of the main stars, but obviously this whole manga was sort of a springboard for the new movie.
Yeah, and it was for her, and then Boruto gets to the movie. That's kind of how it's going to go.
Okay.
But at the same time, it's going to be all the cool fights are going to be at the adults, which is what we want. That's my prediction. Yeah. There's going to be one where Boruto is like, oh, I did the last Rasengan. You know, like yeah. That's going to happen. Yeah, that's my prediction.
Anywho, but yeah, that's what we have to say about that. But another question we have is a very awesome name, by the way, Ryzen Kirishima. That's just fun to say. Yes. Ryzen Kirishima. This is a question that we've had that's similar before, but there's another part that I think you'll find interesting. Marvel and DC versus anime matchups. What would you like to see? We've already discussed that, but he also asks, thoughts on Gaara versus Toph from Avatar. Have you seen that video yet?
The yeah, I
death
have.
Battle.
Yes, yes, I have.
I have not seen that yet, but I want to hear your thoughts about that because you are an Avatar fan, and I know nothing about this. And who the hell is
Toph? Toph was an earthbender. She was the blind earthbender, if I'm not mistaken.
That's my whole knowledge of the character.
Yes, and she was just very powerful because she did a thing a lot like Batch do with sonar. Mm-hmm. Like she could step on rocks, and then she would feel the vibration go through everything. And because she's an earthbender, she could pretty much see through the earth, you know, even though her sight was gone. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting. And then she later developed metal bending, which was cool, too.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because it's like made from rocks that you boil down and stuff. So that was cool. But I think she could beat Gaara.
Really?
Yeah.
That's saying a lot. Well, I mean, we've seen Gaara's do some. I mean, Toph must be pretty insane.
Yeah. Toph is made like long, wave-sized mountains move across the planet.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Maybe not quite that big, but she's quite good.
Because, I mean, you know, that's kind of on par with what Gaara does. You know, he takes his sand, and he can literally create, like, giant tsunamis out of them and stuff.
The problem is sand's a bad weapon against her.
Mm, that's true, because technically, could she not control the sand herself?
Yeah, it's like they both hit each other with the things they can counter.
That, you know, let's pretend, like, somehow, you know, she can't control the sand, you know, and...
Is sand little rocks? Oh, wait.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. You have to kind of, you have to pretend, like, how this battle would actually work.
And gold's
like,
metal,
really...
and she can metal bend. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't see, they both kind of neutral each other out. I feel like whoever can make the biggest blow maybe could do it.
Okay, like, what if it's like a straight fist fight? Like,
oh, well, who's going to win? Gaara's win. Gaara, no, she's a good, she won many martial arts tournaments.
That's saying a lot.
So it's, they're both kind of like, they both sort of fill the exact same role in each other's series. Like, Gaara's like, the maybe not the character wise, but you know, they stand next to the main character and they have earthbend powers or earth related powers. They're very similar characters, so making them fight is like, I don't know, double negative. Yeah. Who do you think would win? You want to say Gaara?
I mean, I want to say Gaara because I know nothing about Toph. Like, I never watch Avatar. I even tried to get into it desperately. You let me borrow some of the DVDs.
Yeah, and I gave you all three seasons.
I reached one episode like where there's just a bunch of people walking through a valley, and I was just like, you know what, don't care at all.
Done.
And I just completely fell off of it. But I know why people like it. And unfortunately, I never really got to experience
that
character.
It's got good characters.
Yeah, like that character of Toph. I never really got to experience like what that character was all about.
Yeah, it's very true.
You know, and I never really got to see what they were truly capable of in that entire series. But yeah, I mean, I want to say Gaara because I've seen him do some amazing things. Aside from the fact that originally he was just transforming into monsters and stuff, we've seen him literally just like summon these giant just like waves of sand that just trap everything. But then again, this, you know, chick apparently can control like the power of the earth, which is sand. So like you said, it's a stalemate. So.
Yeah, it's like, how do they hurt each other almost? Mm-hmm. Like, here's a whole bunch of sand to crush you. Oh wait, here's me making boulders out of that and slamming you back. Like, here's me catching those boulders with the rocks around us. I don't know, they're all just sort of like the same character.
It's like, what would happen if Aquaman fought against Kisame? Because Kisame is like half fish.
Yeah.
Could, like, Aquaman control Kisame?
They'd have to just physically fight.
You think so?
Yeah.
You don't think he'd be like, start to control him and stuff, and then he'd have, like, complete control over him?
That would be funny.
I think it would be.
I think Kisame could only make water sharks.
Aquaman would dominate the One Piece universe.
Oh, yeah, he would.
Dude, he would have an army of sea kings just riding on them, like, ah, just destroying everything with all these giant waves and creatures.
And, like, crushing devil fruit users with water.
Oh, my God, that would be so epic. People make fun of Aquaman all the time, but he would dominate that world.
He pretty much has water fruit powers.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, if you want to look at it like that.
You know, with the whole fish telepathy thing, which does not sound impressive at first, but I really can't wait to see what they're going to do with Aquaman in the new movies. Hopefully it'll make people take that character seriously, because I think Aquaman's cool.
Yeah, I think a dude that control great white sharks to attack you is pretty cool.
Although my favorite thing about Aquaman involves this old Adult Swim commercial they used to have in the early 2000s when Adult Swim started. What they would do is they would take this, like, old animated version, like Super Friends Aquaman, and they would bring him out to like just a random place in the middle of like Atlanta, because that's where Adult Swim is based.
Yeah, yeah, they're in Atlanta.
And then you would just have like Aquaman, he would just, and you'd see him from behind, and then he would just stop, and then this music would start up, and then it's just Aquaman shaking his ass for like 30 seconds, and then black screen Adult Swim. That's all it was. Like, look those up, they're absolutely hilarious. But yeah. I'm gonna have to look up this whole Gaara versus Toph video, because I love Death Battle, but I've sort of, like, fallen off the horse. I haven't checked out any of the recent episodes, and I remember those being really awesome. The last one I saw was Majin Buu versus Kirby, which, you know, I don't even want to spoil how that one ends, but let's just say it's pretty shocking. But yeah, I really liked that one a lot. But, there we go. That was viewer questions. Thank you guys for giving us a few more questions. Each week we want to try and answer a couple. Just make sure to write them in the description box below. Like I said, if you have any questions specifically for us, or something you want to ask us, something you want us to discuss, please tell us in the comment section below. You guys make this part of the video possible. So yeah. Now that we're done with that, we're going to go ahead and we're going to move into the summer 2015 anime season.
Ooh.
And there are a lot of shows here. So I think we'll go ahead and just get the elephant out of the room, which is Dragon Ball Super.
Yes.
Which just aired last week, which is just, we're still like kind of feeling the energy coming off of that show. Like, people are still talking about it and they're excited. And it's amazing how many people have viewed the show and watched and enjoyed it, because it's one of the few anime that doesn't have like a license, and it doesn't even have a like a simulcast or a simulcast this season whatsoever, which I think is really, really shocking, which means if you want to watch Dragon Ball Super, you kind of have to Google it.
Yeah, it's almost insane that they're not making it a legal way to watch it.
Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, oh, Dragon Ball, it's gonna be on Crunchyroll, like, no, yeah, doubt it's gonna, yeah, be on Funimation.com. It's nowhere to be seen whatsoever, and it pains me on my Dragon Ball review when people come in like, hey, where can I watch it? And it's just, there really isn't any way. You gotta have to Google it, you know, because it changes all the time, and there's all those other illegal sites that you can go to and everything. But I really hope that Toei gets the message that a lot of the fans in the West really want to watch that show. But despite that, it's still not going to stop people from watching it, and the first episode aired and I liked it a lot.
Yes.
It was just classic, you know. Kind of a mixture of old Dragon Ball meets Z, but with a little bit of like just a dash of slice of life, which usually that type of stuff is kind of off-putting, but when you have the Dragon Ball characters involved, it's actually kind of refreshing
for some reason.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it makes sense, but mm-hmm. slice of life in Dragon Ball never really bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, those characters can just go on their little adventures, and because at the end of the day, they end up accidentally blowing up something.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, or something crazy happens. So it's just interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't mind it. As long as it's only one episode long, yeah, or two episodes long besides that. And then it gets out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm really excited about Dragon Ball F or Dragon Ball Super. It just, man, I'm so glad that show's back.
Mm-hmm.
I see all these memes online. People are like, just thought I grew up, and then a new Dragon Ball comes out, you know?
Damn it.
I thought
gotta
I was...
Gotta get back on.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe it. I just think the one mistake they're making is not making it available for anyone.
That is the biggest mistake, but a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, Toei Animation, they know what they have. They know they have a cash cow, and they're going to wait for someone to license it and make a lot of money. I mean, how would they not? Dragon Ball Z is one of the biggest, like, anime properties, if not the biggest, in the world, because it appeals to so many different people. And it is a shame that, you know, I remember when the first episode came out, like, I had to struggle to find it. Like, it, you know, if it wasn't for our loyal commenters and subscribers, I wouldn't not even been able to see the episode. You know, and I was managing to find it in the highest quality that I could, too, because I'm such a snob when it comes to that type of stuff. And even the subs I was watching, they were not that great.
Oh, there's a really cool article on Kotaku. It says the evolution of Dragon Ball characters.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see here, like, here's the episode, or here's the, like, Vegeta over time.
Okay, I'll put my fingers over the GT Vegetas because I don't want to see those. Just, God, look at him with his mustache and short hair.
They ruined
him. Does
that
sound like Vegeta to you? Mustache and short hair?
So anyway, that's kind of cool, right? Mm-hmm. But my favorite one's this one.
Is it another Saiyan character? It's Piccolo. He's not changed whatsoever.
Yeah, it's the same.
I mean, to be fair, he has changed a little bit with the art style. But yeah, he's always had pretty much the same outfit, which is just a slight he rendition of the one used by the evil King Piccolo.
He doesn't transform, so he doesn't need
a new... No, he just merges with, you know, all the different people in his race.
It's all, like, internal.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I also thought that was really crazy that No, this is just started. We're tarded. I love the internet, but it's so distracting.
Mm-hmm.
This mod makes it so you can do Goku versus Frieza on Street Fighter.
Oh, wow. That is a buff Goku.
That is pretty much
wow, Frieza looks very Frieza-esque. Wow. That's really good.
Really?
Yeah. Except that now, when you see them next to each other, it looks a little strange because Frieza's got like a giant bulbous head, more so than usual. But yeah, it's just, oh my gosh, that's crazy. They can do anything with those mods nowadays. But yeah, what's really cool about the first episode of Dragon Ball Super is that it's kind of a retelling of Battle of Gods, which I'm not completely opposed to. I understand why they want to hype that up again. It was a really big success, and this way they can sort of more naturally include Beerus and Whis into the story, who are barely even in the first episode of Dragon Ball Super. They're just going around destroying planets just, you know, at their own whim, which I think is really great for those characters. There's also, of course, Majin Buu and Mr. Satan. Mr. Satan is now voiced by Joseph Joestar. Which is, it's good, but it's also really distracting, because, like, I don't see Mr. Satan anymore. I just picture, like, Joseph Joestar wearing a Mr. Satan outfit, which is really, which that image already is really strange, and he's already a really goofy character.
He, like, powers up, he sees Goku power up, and he's like, oh, no!
Oh, my God! If they could just make Mr. Satan say that, that would be the most amazing thing in the friggin' world. That'd be great.
That would be crazy.
Mm-hmm. But most of the episode actually focused on Trunks and Goten, which, you know, I was ready to be like, oh, first episode's going to suck. But actually, it was pretty good seeing them go on their little adventure and fight against that giant snake. And it also gave us kind of a preview of what the animation is going to look like. And there are parts of the episode that look better than the movies
that
they released, which is like, I was like, wow, that's surprising. They're actually like buckling down and, you know, putting a little bit of work into the backgrounds and everything and making the animation look pretty crisp and smooth. So I hope they're able to keep that way forever. But then again, it's Toei Animation and they're known for, you know, budgeting their series like really crazy. They're the guys who do like One Piece and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean,
well, they also, then they have long-term experience running an anime.
Yeah.
So we'll see how the quality dips and goes all over the place.
But yeah, but I'm really interested in this one. And the intro of the show is great. Sort of gives you another understanding of what the arc is going to be about. Since they're redoing a Battle of Gods, it's not just going to be Beerus and Whis. There's going to be the gods from the sixth dimension.
Yes.
Who are known as Shanpa, which is a play on champagne. Because every single, you know, Beerus, beer, Whis, whiskey, Shanpa, champagne. But we don't know what the actual female Whis, we don't know what her name is quite yet. It's probably on a Dragon Ball wiki somewhere, but it hasn't been officially revealed in the show yet.
What do you think? Some
Chauvignon Blanc?
Or just try to go with vodka.
Yeah.
I guess she's a little more straightforward girl in my head. Yeah. You know, not Chauvignon Blanc. there's whiskey. Yeah. No, they already use whiskey. There's vodka. Yeah. I don't know. You could come up with a million things.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, obviously that's just going in line with the other classic Dragon Ball. It's always got to be like a food pun or something. All the gods are alcoholic beverages, which I think is pretty awesome.
That is cool because they're fucking crazy drunk on power.
They are.
So let's go through the other summer anime.
Yeah, because there's a lot of shows this year, and there's only a couple that I know I'm definitely going to look at. I've gotten a ton of requests, and I'm even going to do some quick fire reviews of some of those today. But we're going to go through some of the shows that are going to be airing this season. So let's go ahead and check.
Kind of a funny thing because, as much as we review anime, there's a lot of anime we don't like.
There is.
So what we're going to do is go through this and just say, nope, not for us, you know, and keep moving, you know, so.
And we're also going to try our best to pronounce this stuff because I find the shows we don't like usually have names
that
are like impossible to pronounce.
So you're going to Okusama?
Yeah, let's see. We're already stuck on the first one. The first one is this show called Okusama ga, oh God, I'm already stuck. Okusama ga Seito Kaicho.
Yeah, but say it in like your loud Japanese.
Okusama ga Seito Kaicho. I almost kind of, like I said before we did that, I was practicing that. I sound like one of those hosts on Sabado Gigante. I don't know why I do that, but that's just the way it is.
Telemundo.
Yeah, so as far as OGSK goes, I'm probably not going to watch it.
Romantic comedy ecchi.
It's a romantic comedy. It's an ecchi. It's a series.
That already means no, Corey. What we're not watching.
It just means no. Yeah, we're not going to go over it. Who am I kidding? It's a weird show about sex.
Gangsta.
But Gangsta. Now, that's a show that I am watching.
Gangsta, period.
Just really loving that one. The second episode just aired today, which is July 9th, if you guys are curious. I like this show. It's really gritty. It's hardcore. It's all crime and mafia based, and it's just got a lot of style going for it. It's got an amazing soundtrack. Only warning I have for the show is that it is not for the faint of heart, and it's definitely not for younger viewers. It's got some really messed up language and really like realistic messed up things going on, and it's unapologetic.
Yeah, and it's a crime action genre. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you want action and you want, you know, crime adventures, you know, detectives or hitmen or whatever the fuck they are, go check that out. That one sounds fun.
Mm-hmm.
Chaos Dragon.
That sounds like a show. Digimon. Kind of, yeah. This is a show that a lot of people requested. And I did look at the first episode.
Yeah.
And I'm just not all that impressed. Mostly for the animation, which there also, are parts of it that looked really good. But for the most part, there were just some things that made me cringe. Just some real stilted, stiff animation. And just nothing new about it. And that's what I'm going to say, unfortunately, about a lot of the shows this season, just the same old crap that we've seen over and over and over. That's not to say that you might not be entertained by it. You might check out these shows.
Are you not entertained?
No, I was not entertained! Throw the sword at the freaking guy. All right. So,
also, if you guys want to follow along with this list, it is kotaku.com/your complete summer 2015 anime list.
This way, maybe you'll see a show that you might like. Yeah. Maybe something that we aren't covering. Which is a lot of these shows. There's a ton of them.
There's 47, Corey. Let's go faster.
Woo! All right, so we have Aquarian Lagos. This is actually a sequel
mecha
series.
Sci-fi.
It's a mecha series. Nothing special about it, really. You know, I've seen a few of the old Aquarian Lagos.
It has an Evangelion-y / mech-y mecha sort of feel.
Yeah, except without the Evangelion quality in storytelling. Yeah. My biggest pet peeve with Aquarian Lagos is it's another one of those mecha shows that all the mecha are CG, and it just doesn't like look good with the other animation. Another show that just started recently, another big request, was Rompo Kiton, Game of Laplace.
It's like they know the good ones. That's why they're putting them at the top of this list.
Yeah, well, I don't know. This one's kind of all over the place. But I think they're actually in the order in which they air.
Oh, okay.
We have Rompo Kiton, Game of Laplace, which is a mystery horror series, which I haven't looked at yet, but a lot of people have suggested that I should check it out because I've heard it's got a pretty interesting premise.
After a series of murders happen in middle school.
That's the one thing that keeps me from watching it, though, is like I'm sick of like school stories, and I'm sick of watching kids in school.
What about this one? What about there are students that have to kill their teacher in a school setting?
Now, you see, that's different. That's what mixed it up a little bit, you know.
That is true.
Assassination Classroom is just so unique in every way. This is just, you know.
Like how it's in a classroom? Okay, yeah. So next one.
We have, Aoharu and Machine Gun, otherwise known as Aoharu Kikanju. This is a comedy sports show, and that's the reason I'm not watching it.
Okay,
I'm just not a big fan of sports show. If I'm going to watch sports, I'm going to watch sports, okay? Simple as
this
that.
This is America,
yeah.
Okay?
America.
I don't watch cartoon sports.
This next one, which is a show, like, I don't even know what the hell this is, Castletown Dandelion.
It's a comedy, so
it sounds like a My Morning Jacket song. I'm not reviewing it. Next, we have another continuation of the very popular Hitalia, the World Twinkle series. This is the Hitalia series, which has been around for a very long time. Obviously, Funimation definitely got a hold of that because they've been distributing it. I just don't have much.
Animation is like kind of interesting, though.
Hmm?
The animation looks kind of cool.
It is. It's different. I don't know if you realize this, Christian, but you realize that the picture of the show is above the title.
Yes.
Okay, so we have Hitalia the World Twinkle, and I don't know what you find appealing about that,
I don't find it appealing. Yeah. I just find it interesting art style. It looks like a Kirby yarn or whatever.
A Kirby Epic Yarn or like a Yoshi's Woolly World?
Yeah, it just has interesting.
Unfortunately, it does not look as good as that, but it's still it's a very well-written show. It's good for comedy. It's just not the show for me. The next show, however, is for
Modern
me, and it is a show
fantasy.
That I am reviewing. It is Ushio and Tora, otherwise known as Ushio To Tora, which is all about this kid who actually unlocks this demon that's been living in the shrine next to his house, which has the spear attached to it, and the demon is crazy, and it gives him these special powers, and he fights against monsters, and it's cliche, and it's 80s, and it's 90s, and it's awesome. Like, this is just one of those shows that, like, takes an old anime presence. It's been gone for years. Like, nobody's been asking for an Ushio and Tora series. And they're like, screw it, let's just see what happens. And this show just totally, like, evokes that early 90s anime vibe, and I love it for that, and it didn't compromise that in the art style.
Kind of looks like Parasite too, a little bit.
A wee bit.
It's got the heavy black lines.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the only difference is, you know, the characters are definitely not as realistic looking. They're definitely a little more cartoony looking. Even, you know, the demon in the show, Tora himself, which is like this big tiger demon, you know, he'll have moments where he's like the most disturbing thing you've ever seen, and the next he's like this goofy looking, you know, cartoon character. So it definitely is a mixture of action and comedy, but I really like it, and I can't wait to see the second episode of of the series. Next, right after that, we have Miss Monochrome 2. Didn't know there was a Miss Monochrome 1, so that means I ain't watching it. All right.
What
then
about
we have
Wabba,
Wakaba Girl.
Nope,
what do you know?
Skipping
another
it.
Comedy slice of life show about cute little girls doing cute things. Never seen that before. All right, right after that, we have a show that has got one hell of a weird name and definitely is not the show for me either. It is Woozer's Hand-to-Mouth Life Phantasmagoric Arc, Woozer no Sono Higurashi Mugen Hen.
The intro
is... What is with Japanese titles and anime and them being way too damn long? It's a comedy sci-fi show, but it looks like it has kind of like a goofy, sort of super cartoony art style. I'm not really sure.
It has both. It's got it all.
Yeah.
It's got it all. The art style changes more than I can count, actually.
Oh, well, wonderful. Can't wait for that.
So
okay, so
sci-fi.
Right after that, we
Gate.
Have Gate.
I can handle
Gate,
that one.
Gate, Jite, Konachi, Knight, Kaku, Takari. Yeah, you know, it actually looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
It says that it's a fantasy, but right before that, it also says it's a comedy. And as I look at the preview for the series, it totally does not look like a comedy
at
all.
No, it tricks you at the end. It tricks you right at the end. All of a sudden,
it does. You start to see anime chicks just start to pop up. A cute little girl with a giant scythe. Never seen that before. There are times I like anime, and then there's times that I just cringe when I see it, because it's like, I've been down that road before. Then we have Classroom Crisis.
Comedy sci-fi.
Another comedy sci-fi show set in the future on Mars, and I am done. I'd rather be playing Doom. All right, then we have Symphogear GX, otherwise known as Senki
cool
Zesso.
So no, it doesn't.
Nope. What do you know? More music and sci-fi.
Oh, it's a music show.
Yeah,
that's why I had all those crazy backgrounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Very popular with the you know, the young Lolita idols. It's just something that Japan
that's
is,
not me.
Has always been into.
That's not my.
I agree. It's definitely not
me.
The animation doesn't look awful by any means, but it also just doesn't look like anything. It
looks like a big anime music video, and I'm not watching that.
Yeah. The next show has another very strange name. A Boring World Where the Concept of Dirty Jokes Doesn't Exist.
That's
otherwise,
the whole fucking title?
That's the title.
No,
but,
what's the subtitle?
But the Japanese title is Shimona Tato Lu Gainen Ga Sonzai Shinai Taikutsu no Sekai.
Are you trying to say a world where boring concept jokes don't exist, Corey?
I am! Ah. That's right. This is a another comedy edgy show. Which is just basically an excuse for a lot of fan service and obsceneness. I'm not really...
Etchy means fan service-y bullshit?
I don't really want to get into the dynamics of etchy today. Let's save that for another podcast, because it's definitely a weird topic, to say the least.
Yeah, I'll just take that as a yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's sexual, let's just say that. Next
sexual.
Is another popular returning show, and I'm glad that we got to this one because I need to address this because it's kind of an
this
elephant
is, okay,
in the
room. This is when the cameras come on, the flashes start hitting you.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so Durarara Season 2, 10. This is the continuation. The continuation! No more pictures of the Durarara series. And as you guys know, I actually reviewed the last bit. But I was really underwhelmed by it, you know, especially when compared to the first half of Durarara, which just had way better production value, a better story, and since it was just so fresh and new at the time, that's probably what it was. The last season had not very good animation, and it really surprised me, considering it was like a two-core show, and they were splitting it up into the seasons. So as far as me actually reviewing the season, if I do review it, it's going to be like the whole season. It's not going to be on an individual episode basis.
So you might do a season recap.
Exactly. But I have no interest.
So you're promising the world a season recap.
Basically. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll give you guys that at least, but there's just no way. Cause I even watched the first episode of this one. I was just more of the same. I just didn't really get anything out of it. I will say that the first episode of this season did a little better than the last, but I mean, still, just when compared to the first, it really is night and day. I just don't really care.
You
for
should
it.
Look at Working. Yeah,
Working.
That's a comedy slice of life.
Mm,
right,
it
up
is.
Here.
Now, Working is not exactly awful. I am
I've
actually,
heard of it, actually.
I am
the
actually
servers.
Familiar with the previous parts of the series, and it is funny. It's still not the show for me, but you know, if you like comedy,
remember,
you like situational real life comedy, check it out.
Yeah, it has a little more realistic tone to it, but I just remember this cook showing up, and I swear to God, it was Sanji. It's like they had a cook that came on with a guy with one eye covered that was blonde, and it's pretty, yeah, it was practically Sanji, and I thought that was so fun. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. You know, it's a restaurant, and they have a guy that looks like Sanji as the chef, and the main chick is like, likes him and gets embarrassed and says stupid stuff, and it's like, oh, dirt to dirt, you know. And like, I was like, I get it, I get why people, yeah.
I love that. All right, we got Gatchaman Crowd's Insight. Gatchaman Crowd's Insight is a sequel series which has a really cool art style, very old school art style. And a lot of that has to do that it's based on the very old Gatchaman series, which I'm not 100% on this, but I think it's from the old company that's called Tatsunoko. And I watched a little bit of the last, but I didn't watch enough of it to have a firm understanding of it. But yeah, I just another one of those shows that just I never really got into. Simple as that. But it's one of those long-running things. It has connections to old shows. We have Roka, Braves of the Six Flowers. This is another show a lot of people requested. Like, this is one of the bigger ones, Roka no Yusha. And it's okay. It's got some really nice character design, but nothing that I haven't, like, everything I see in it, like, I'm like, I've seen stuff like that before.
You know, yes.
That's the only problem I've had with a lot of the new shows. It's just like, I've seen this before. I've been down this way before. Ironically, I love Dragon Ball Super, which, of course, makes me a little bit of a hypocrite, but that's, you know, I'm not afraid to admit that. But yeah, Roka no Yusha, just, I mean, it's a show to look out for, but I'm not too impressed by it so far. We've already mentioned Dragon Ball Super and how it's easily the best show this season. I don't care what anyone says. We also have Wakoko Zaki. Which, you know, it's another slice of life show.
That art style looks like dog shit.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say it's dog shit, but it's very, it's stylistic.
Stylized dog shit.
Yeah, but it's going to be, it looks like a shorter format, kind of a snappier, funny show.
The way I feel.
Yeah, we also have a Q Transformers 2, which is like a Chibi-Eyes Transformers show. Don't even care.
Corey, aren't you going to review that? That would be, if we had 100 episodes of that on our channel, we'd be set.
That's okay. We also have To Love Rue Trouble Darkness Second, which is the next part of the To Love Rue series, which I know barely anything about. The only thing I know about it is that it's got a pink-haired chick who's really hot, and that's it. Like, simple as that.
Well, you know, I think it involves, gets you watching.
Yeah, I think, you know, it says it's a comedy and sci-fi, but I always kind of associated it more with, like, fantasy. But maybe that's just because I don't know a lot about the To Love Rue series. But it's very popular, and it has a very dedicated fan base. Right after that, we have what apparently is Snow White with the red hair.
This is something I bet I could, like my girlfriend loves old-timey, like, back in the day, England castles, stuff like that.
Yeah. I bet she'd like this. There might be something to get out of that. You never know. It doesn't look entirely awful, but then again, you know,
I see those. The art style looks good.
Yeah, but my only problem, again, with it is, you know, I see those character designs, it's like, I feel like I've seen these people before.
It's sort of online. Then again,
it's really hard to come up with distinctive character designs in anime nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, it's all kind of been done in certain ways.
We also have what is, believe it or not, the fifth season of a show called TQ.
I've never heard of it.
You know, just looking at the art style, I don't even need to look at the preview. No, thanks.
It's comedy slice of life, Corey. It's your favorite.
And that immediately goes for the next couple of shows, too.
Yep, like, okay.
We have Skipping Million Idol. Doll. Don't care. We have Actually I Am Jitsu Wa Watashi Wa, which is a show all about these weird demon girls who want to fall in love with one guy. It's that easy, guys. Trust me. Right after that, we have Non Non Biyori Repeat. Again, more slice of life. Don't get it. Next show.
Wait, she goes to school in a rural elementary middle school that only has 5 students. I guess they all like fight over the dude or something.
I guess. They all fight over the dude. That's the way it always is in anime. Just like 10 bombastic 10 out of 10 super mega hot chicks and just one dude who has like zero personality.
No game.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't close the deal.
Yeah. But right after that, we have Kaiju Sakaba.
I could watch that 5 more times. Give me another season of that.
We have Kaiju Sakaba Kanpai, which is a comedy sci-fi show, which I don't even know what I'm looking at. It literally looks like...
It looks like that game. What was that music game back in the day with the onion karate chopping guy?
Holy shit. It looks like Parappa the Rapper.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like.
Wow, Parappa the Rapper. Where the hell is our PS4 sequel, Sony? That shit needs to happen. the next show is one that I actually watched recently. I watched it last night. It's Overlord. This is, you know, next to the other shows we got, probably the biggest request. Overlord is a diving MMORPG game series. What that means is it's just like Sword Art Online, where someone gets stuck inside of a game. But this one does have a little bit of a twist to it. It seems to have more of a comedy edge to it. And the biggest difference is in Sword Art Online, the players were all stuck in the world like the minute that game was launched, and whenever they would kill each other, that'd be the end of it, and all the players were stuck and they couldn't get out. In this series, it's this game that's existed for a long time. It's called Yggdrasil. It's this big fantasy game.
Okay.
And there's this huge group of badasses, and one of them is the Overlord, who is this main character of the show who totally does not look like the main character whatsoever.
He looks like Skeletor.
He does. He looks
or
like
Mumra.
Yeah, Mumra! He looks like a freaking just 1980s like cartoon villain, and it seems so out of place having this guy be the main character. But what's really clever about it is you never actually see what real life is like in this show. It opens up in this game. It's the last day of the servers are going to be open for this game, and this one player, the Overlord, this skull-looking skeleton guy, he decides he's going to stick around and enjoy his last game there. And as soon as the servers shut down, nobody actually gets logged out, or at least he doesn't. He doesn't have access. He can't, like, quit anymore.
Yeah.
And all of the NPCs now have more personality than they used to. They seem to actually be able to talk with their mouths and everything, but they will listen to his command. And the episode ends with him sort of realizing, like, you know what? My life outside of this game kind of sucked. I had no friends. I had no family. I lived on my own. I worked all day. I came home. I played games and I slept. But here, I can be the Overlord. I have people who care about me and want to be with me and work with me. And that's probably the most interesting element about the show. Otherwise, though, it's really nothing special. I thought the animation and the artwork was so-so. The most interesting premise is the fact that the NPCs are the characters who are actually coming to life and working with this guy, and I think the strongest element of the show is how at the very beginning they make it seem as if this skeleton guy is going to be like the villain, but he actually ends up being the hero, and there's just something really funny about that. And what I love is looking at this list, they don't even say comedy on the genre whatsoever, but I found myself laughing a lot while watching this show. That might have been unintentional, I'm not sure.
What was your biggest criticism? I think we were talking earlier, you said it's kind of a Sword Art Online ripoff.
There's no kind of about it. It's just like Sword Art Online. It's dive technology. You're stuck in the game. It's just immediate you hear someone stuck. Your first thing you're going to think is Sword Art Online. And it's not the first show to do that. And, you know, Sword Art wasn't even the first show to do that. There have been
The most popular.
Yeah, it was just really, really well known. And the difference between Sword Art and Overlord is that Sword Art had a bigger budget. It had better action scenes. There really wasn't any action in the first episode aside from just a few quick shots, but really nothing all that spectacular. But it's a show that might grow into something more. I am going to continue to watch it. I don't believe I'm going to be reviewing the show, but I'd like to talk about it in each week's podcast because you never know. This is something that could go somewhere, and it is a show with potential, but just there's really nothing new about it. That's the only thing. Which is my biggest complaint about this entire season, period. There's just nothing really all that fresh or new when compared to the stuff
Ninja
I saw in the
Slayer
last season.
Disappointed in the way we weren't getting the animation we thought we were.
Yeah.
But we still got a completely original show.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't fault it for that.
No, you can't.
And I don't feel like I'm seeing that this season.
Mm-mm.
Well, there's this show called Dragon Ball Super, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Check it out, guys. It's pretty good.
What's the next one?
We're so biased when it comes to like action series and stuff. People call us the jocks of anime. It's kind of true.
Yeah, it is.
All right, so we have Seiyu's Life, Sora Guy Seiyu Comedy Slice Life. Don't care. Don't even care.
Oh, what about this next one? It's got
boobs.
Oh my
god, I just see boobs immediately.
You're like,
if it's not Slice of Life, it's friggin' Jugs. We got Everyday Life with Monster Girls.
Well, that's her everyday life, Corey.
That's her everyday comedy HE fantasy life. Which is all about big breastises.
And having cat ears.
Yeah.
But you don't recognize that because her boobs are out.
God, it just sounds like a fetish anime. Which, as soon as we're done with that one, we move on to a show called Bikini Warriors. They don't even... What I like about Bikini Warriors... That's going to change that show for Bikini Warriors. The powers in... All right, that's enough of that. Bikini Warriors. What I at least like about Bikini Warriors
is
that
they're
it
in bikinis.
Well, of course, but like, you know, that's the obvious. But I like the fact they don't like try to dress it up or anything. It's just like, look, this is Bikini Warriors. All right. We're fan servicey anime series with some fantasy elements. Get ready to get excited.
That's
simple as that. Like, they don't try to dress it up.
Let's go on Jiggly Adventures now.
You know, they don't try to make like an anime that's all about just like big tits and shit and say, oh, yeah, this was made by the Coen brothers. No, this is straight up what it is. We also have Suka Nishi the Animation. So for all those people who are enjoying the Suka Nishi manga, here's your crappy animated version of that. Again, what is it? It's a comedy slice of life show. Big deal. Whatever. We have Sky Wizards Academy. Sky Wizards Academy.
I'm good. Skip it.
You know, don't even care anymore. You know, it's just fantasy. That's what this whole list is going to be. Weren't you looking excited?
What about this next one? It's Yaoi. I'm interested. Let's watch the preview on.
Yaoi. Okay, so it's Junjo Romantica 3. Junjo Romantica 3. That sounds like, oh my god, I don't even want to look at this preview anymore. I'm creeped out.
I got a fucking ad. I'm still waiting for it.
Here we go. You don't want to see anything. The next show is Himoto Umaru-chan. Guess what? Comedy. Slice of life. Cute girls. Doing cute things. I feel like I keep saying the same thing every single show I'm going down. And you know what? I'm just going to skip all the way down.
Post-apocalyptic slice of life. You know, they get goofy faces while they run from zombies.
Okay, that's a little better. You know, I mean, it's still a step in one direction and still a step back. But, I mean, we're getting there.
Two steps forward, one step back.
Yeah, there we go. I'm going to go down to prison school. Only reason is because, you know, it's prison related. The only problem is it's got school in the title. So I already know that it's going to be like a school-based show.
Look at the preview.
But the art style looks ridiculous, especially the freaking, like, I guess it's the warden of the prison school.
Yeah, right at 39 seconds.
Yeah, she's pretty bombastic. But honestly, the show looks like it has great production value. That's the one thing. I'm watching this dude right now. It looks like he's about to stab someone with a fork. But yeah, like, I like the character design.
There's a lot of fan service-y bullshit. Though.
But it's definitely, it's jiggly. That's the only thing, you know.
It should be called Jiggly Prison School.
Yeah, Jiggly Prison School.
Be a little more straight up, like, needs to follow up, like, Bikini Warriors.
Mm-hmm. Now, the next show is one that hasn't aired yet, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's one that I think a lot of people are. Yeah. It's called God Eater. It's from the people at Ufa Table, otherwise known as the guy who animate Fate Stay Night. And I gotta admit, the
it
art
feels
style
like that.
Looks freaking great. It looks unique. It looks like this, like, weird mixture of like CGI animation mixed with traditional animation, and it just bleeds style. Simple as that. The action scenes look freaking awesome, and my only issue with the show is that it's based on a video game series. I am not a big fan of anime that are based on video games, and that's only because they usually just aren't that great. You know, games work good as games. Sometimes they just don't work good as like a narrative. But I'm interested to see what
they'll
do.
This next one, I'm just skipping. You can read that.
Oh, you don't want to watch Makoro no Danshi?
No.
No, why not? It's because a romantic show.
It sounds like
and it's short form, so you don't have to suffer.
I'm uncomfortable
too long
looking at that thumbnail, so I'm just gonna keep moving.
Wow. All right. we have The Idol Master, Cinderella Girls 2. Not affiliated with Russell Crowe movie Cinderella Man.
Which was actually good.
It was. And Fate Stay fans, you might want to get excited because there's also going to be Fate Kaleid Liner Prisma, which is a spin-off of the Fate Stay series, which is a magical girl series. If you don't know what a magical girl series is, see Sailor Moon. I think I will be skipping that iteration of the Fate Stay series.
But Sailor Moon's about to end, so you need to replace that Magic Girl series.
That's okay. I think I'm just going to finish up Sailor Moon and be done there. Sailor Moon's about to finish up in its last episode. Jesus Christ, it's taken over a year for a 26-episode series to finish. Oh my god, I hope another anime that I review never goes on a bi-weekly schedule.
That was 26?
Were sometimes it would go on 3-week breaks. Like, it's like, ugh.
You think about it.
I gotta wait for the next episode to watch Sailor Moon bitch about not going on a date. Ugh.
Well, there's 56 weeks in a year, right?
Yeah.
So then you take 24 and divide it by 2. Like, that's pretty much right there. That's almost a year.
I know.
If it doesn't take breaks.
So it's been pretty strange, to say the least. I wouldn't say it's the worst anime I've ever seen, but it hasn't been all that great of an experience. There have been a few diamonds in the rough.
Like when they transform?
Yeah, but the good thing is they actually don't like transform every single episode like they did in the original series. But
okay.
I love the original anime so much more. I thought the animation and the art style and the characters were better. And I don't know. Just simple as that. If I had to recommend a Sailor Moon show, I can't believe I'm doing that. I would recommend the original ones from the 90s. I honestly think they do a better job with the source material, despite the fact that there are fillers all up in that bitch.
All up in there?
Yeah. But yeah, we're going to end on the final show, which,
oh my god,
believe it or not, not going to review this one either. Venus Project Climax. It's an idol show. So yeah.
Don't care.
So yeah, these are actually just a select number of the shows that are
that
going
we
to
won't
be
watching.
That we will not be watching. I love this. This segment is going, people are just going to be like, you guys suck. You're such sticks in the mud about all this anime series that you won't even give a chance. I just, you know, I know what I like.
There's so many hours in the day, guys.
You know.
Like, to review an anime that goes for 24 minutes long is about an hour commitment.
So, at least, at a minimum.
Because you got to watch it, then you got to review it, then you got to edit it, then you got to render it, then you got to upload it. Mm-hmm. And that, even though it's a 20-minute episode, does not mean it takes 20 minutes to get a review up. So when you ask us to add 5 more series, you're adding 5 more hours of work a week. Think of it like that, even though you probably could care less. Yes. But we have to. Yeah. So,
and but I like the suggestions. The more suggestions, the better.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We always like you guys to tell us what's up. Yeah. Because we do not know everything coming out. I mean, look, we didn't even know 80% of these anime on this list.
You know, I'm glad that, you know, Venus Project Climax is coming out now. I know not to watch it.
You know what I'm glad that's coming out? Dragon Ball Super.
Yeah. It's a shame that, like, out of all these new shows, Dragon Ball Super, Ushio and Tora, Gangsta, that's just about it. Pretty much all the manliest shows that we could find were pulled from this list.
Yeah, you know, we're just not a slice of life dudes.
Yeah, and like we said, you know, even though we don't like that stuff, doesn't mean that you guys should not check out these anime series. Please
absolutely
support these companies in any way that you can so that you can get more anime that you love. The good thing is a lot of these shows are currently airing on Crunchyroll, on Funimation, and all types of websites. But like we said, if you want to check these out, check out Kotaku's Summer Anime Guide for 2015. They'll give you a full list
not
of the
hard
shows.
Not hard to find. You'll Google that bitch.
Mm-hmm. You'll
find
get a preview, and they'll also give you links to where you can watch them. So make sure to check that out. There are a ton of shows airing this summer, and even a few more surprises, which are going to be popping up towards the end of the summer. And then before you know it, it's time for the fall season and even more brand new shows, which are going to be very exciting.
It seems like every 3 weeks, the new season's here.
That's the way it is. Pretty much every quarter, there's like a brand new tour of shows that come in.
So we get 4 rounds of new shows a year.
Pretty much, yeah, which is kind of insane.
And if they work, they never stop.
Exactly.
Which is crazier if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
That, 'cause like here we have seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But there, if it, like, imagine if Game of Thrones has been nonstop since it came out. That would be crazy.
That'd have been nuts. That'd have been pretty metal, though, too.
Yeah, well, how the hell do you do that? You can't make that. It's not anime. Mm. You can't just have fake stick figure Jon Snow on screen. It's not like that, you know? It's just a little different. But, yeah, man, so let's just wrap this bad boy up.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had other topics, but we just spent
so... We went for so long.
Yeah, sorry, guys. But thank you so much for the viewer questions. We're going to try to answer those up front. Also, Corey, do you want to go to rogueintel.com and maybe let's look at a few more of the shows? Just tell the people about them one more time. Because we're going to have to talk about Rogue Intel more. And honestly, I want to get to know some of these guys here and have them on our show. And if you go to rogueintel.com and go to shows, you can see all their shows. Fanboys looks like one we'd probably be into if you click on that one.
Oh yeah.
Do you want to read the description of that, Corey?
I can. Let me just
Yeah, but like one of the other things I really like is that it's not just a bunch of nerd stuff there. Like, we like talking about that, but there's guys that talk about like general stuff, like our friends Now That I'm Older. It's kind of like life lessons / the view of things going on now. It's kind of like, I really like this podcast that Dan Carlin's Hardcore History. And then there's Dan Carlin's Current Events, if I'm not mistaken. And it's a lot like Dan Carlin's Current Events. So also, if you're into history, try Dan Carlin's Hardcore History. That is a baller podcast.
Yeah,
I don't know. That guy's...
there's always something interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just listening to him talk to people or talk about history is just amazingly interesting.
So yeah, like he said, there's all types of different shows. There are shows that are similar to us. There's Fanboys with Rob and Dan. Which is, I like that they say they put Hollywood on trial, very similar to what we do all the time. You know, basically they just talk about a lot of the big pop culture things in both TV and in movies, usually things that are nerd related, usually superhero movie type stuff, stuff that's sci-fi related, you know, the type of stuff that we actually do talk about, which I think would be really fun to do a crossover with these guys. I can't wait to meet them. I think that would be really great.
And also we have RI Prime or Rogue Intel Prime, if you want to read about that one, Corey. And right now they have 58 episodes, so they've got a ton of back catalog of stuff. If you find
it
interesting,
This is episode 23, though.
Yeah, this is episode 23, which is a good thing.
But yeah, their podcast, like, it sort of encompasses everything.
They're almost like a news commentary review show. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I think they even describe themselves.
You know, like if they were to do an episode today, it would be all about Jared Fogle.
Oh, God. Why'd you go there?
Because he's still looking good. Yeah, sorry. I had to bring up Jared. I'm sorry. I couldn't help it.
Damn you, Jared.
We're on Jared Welch.
Brittany Wouch.
Inside jokes.
Yeah, sorry, that'll be entertaining, right, guys? Yeah. So check out rogueintel.com. Mm-hmm. Please, they're good guys, and they're going to help us get bigger. So, you know, at least say thank you by checking out their website a few times, guys. They'll enjoy all the extra eyeballs on it, you know? And these guys, man, these guys like put out like 3 shows a week, or 1 show a week. They're trying. They're working at it. Mm-hmm. And if you like their content, definitely give them your love by just watching. That's all it really takes nowadays. People will keep making stuff if they know people are looking at it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of that easy. But also, you guys, let's go back to us. If you like this episode, make sure to give us a thumbs up. You know, share it on social medias. Follow our social medias. We're on Twitter and on Facebook. And if you like the show, donate to our PayPal, or you can use our Amazon Associate link where you just click it, takes you to Amazon. Anything you buy, we get like a percentage of it. So it helps our channel out without you having to spend any money towards it. You just buy the stuff you want on Amazon and it hooks us up. So bookmark that as your Amazon link. That's like the best way to help us out, and you don't even have to think about it ever again. So, yeah, guys, thank you so much for watching. And until next time, Super Kami. Ooh, I fucked up. But next time on the Powerful Nerdcast. Okay.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.